From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. In downtown Boston today, 12 city blocks are a crime scene. At nearby hospitals, doctors are still treating dozens of victims of yesterday's bomb blasts, many with gruesome injuries. We'll hear more about what doctors are seeing in a few minutes. First, an update on early leads in the investigation. Late this afternoon, the special agent in charge of the FBI's office in Boston, Rick DeLaurier, asked the public to help with the investigation.
We are asking anyone who may have heard someone speak about the marathon or the date of April 15th in any way that indicated that he or she may target the event to call us. Someone knows who did this.
NPR's counterterrorism correspondent Dina Temple-Raston joins me here in the studio with the latest. And Dina, as we said, late this afternoon, law enforcement officials talked to reporters. What more did we learn?
Well, the FBI special agent in charge, Rick DeLaurier, said there were no claims of responsibility and the range of suspects was wide open. He said there had been over 2,000 tips that had been phoned into authorities since just noon today.
And Dina, the officials had also some more details about the explosives that seemed to have been used?
Yes, they said that these explosive devices were probably what are called pressure cooker bombs. Basically, it looks like explosives were put into some of these pots that you might use to cook rice. They're still awaiting more analysis of the forensic evidence, but they said they had found pieces of black nylon that were recovered from the blast site, and they were asked if reports that a circuit board was found were true. That might be a bomb component, and they declined to answer that question. Now, pressure cooker bombs have traditionally been the bomb of choice in Afghan jihadi training camps. An Al-Qaeda online magazine called Inspire provided instructions on how to build this kind of bomb a couple of years ago. And that doesn't necessarily mean that this is somehow a foreign plot, because anyone on the web could have found the directions. In fact, there are some white supremacist sites that have actually linked to the directions for this bomb.
And how easy would it be to make this type of pressure cooker bomb that they're talking about?
Well, it's a fairly simple design. Basically, you put an explosive like TNT into the pressure cooker, you attach a blasting cap, and then it can be detonated with a cell phone or a pager or even a digital watch. A Casio watch, for example, was Al-Qaeda's favorite way to detonate this kind of bomb. Officials wouldn't say how these devices were detonated, although they did say one of the reasons that they managed to injure so many people is because they were also loaded with ball bearings or BBs and carpenter nails.
Dina, what are you hearing about the working theories of this investigation?
Well, officials told us that they have some promising leads, though no actual smoking gun. They expect this case will take weeks, not months, to solve. The thinking, as we've been reporting, is that this is a domestic extremist attack. And officials are leaning that way largely because of the timing of the attack. April is a big month for anti-government and right-wing individuals. There's the Columbine anniversary, there's Hitler's birthday, there's the Oklahoma City bombing, the assault on the Branch Davidian compound in Waco. And the FBI right now is comparing this to the Eric Rudolph case. That's the 1996 bombing at the Olympics in Atlanta. That involved a relatively simple bomb that was hard to trace. What's clear is that officials see the public in this case as a vital component to solving this case. They're asking for videos and photographs that people might have taken. And one official told me that he thought this case would eventually be solved by someone coming forward with information. In fact, what he said is, imagine how quickly we might have solved the Olympic Park bombings if they'd had as much of this photographic evidence in 1996.
Okay. Dina, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's NPR's Dina Temple-Raston.